We're going through John, chapter 1 anyway, probably the first 18 verses. There's so much to cover in the Word of God, it's hard to know where to stop and start. I always say that I never know why some pastors don't know what to preach on. Mine is never what not to preach on, because there's so much. But we're going through John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. And then it says, all things were made by Him, and there was nothing. I'm trying to quote it. That doesn't do good, because I study in one of the original languages. So, there's nothing that was not created by Him, anyway. It used the word became. Nothing became without Him becoming it, kind of idea. So, and then in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and we spent 2 weeks studying that. In Him was life, and then the life was the light of men. And so we're kind of going in detail with the concept of light in the Bible, and we spent several weeks on that. This week is kind of an overview about light in a little more detail. I was going to do First John chapter 1 this week, but I'm actually going to do that next week in two segments. So First John chapter 1 talks about God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And it's huge as far as our functional use of light. It says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So it's an expectation that we know what the light is and that we live that light and walk in that light. So we're going to address that more next week. Hopefully this will give you a foundation for next week. It'll bring out First John a little bit here as well. So I will read the 6 verses out of First John to start with, and then we'll pray, okay? And we'll cover the first side or first sheet, and then the back side we'll do after our break, okay? So allow me to read this here. First John 1, verses 5 through 10. By the way, I want to draw your attention to this. If you've been with us in the study, you'll see very common terminology used in John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1. Okay? It brings out some key ideas. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Again, next week we will cover that passage, including verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. So we'll get into that more. But that there's so much there that is obvious that we need that. We need to know how to walk in the light and all that. So this is going to back up just a little bit, and we'll cover kind of an overview. It kind of relates a little bit to what we sung just a minute ago. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to learn Your word. Help us to listen. Help us to chew on what You are teaching us. And help us, Lord, ultimately to embrace Your truth and to change the way we think by it, and therefore change the way we live. Help us to approach Your word with obedient hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have 3 main points. What does the light do? Some of this is review. It's kind of overlap from what we've done. Who or what is the light? Some of that is review as well. And then what do we do with the light? So we're going to talk about those 3 main points. And let me just start writing on the whiteboard here. If you're a visitor here, we kind of like the kid. We write on the board because it makes it easier for the kids to take notes. And maybe the adults too, maybe. I don't know. So, all right, so that's what we're doing right now. So what does the light do? That's number one. What does the light dew. Okay, and there's letter A. Normally my outlines aren't quite as detailed, but today it is. So letter A, light reveals. Light reveals, okay? And notice here it says God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. All right? As we study the Bible, it tells us things that there's no way to learn unless you read the Bible. There's no way to come to that understanding unless you're in the Word of God. There's just some things you can't get. Now let me give you just a little bit of side note here. Light reveals. It shows something. That's ultimately the Bible, okay? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's two types of revelation, okay? And I've taught you this before. I don't necessarily think that you'll remember everything I teach you, so that's why I review. I don't remember everything I teach you, okay? So, but there's two types of revelation, okay? How do people know about God? I'll ask that. Okay, creation, okay? The Bible is clear that it says the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 14, Psalm 19, they both say that. And then Romans 1 says that what is created makes God's Godhead and power without, it makes it obvious. It's evident, okay? That is called general revelation. In other words, general, it goes to everybody and it applies to everybody. Who sees creation? Who is aware of creation? Any being, okay, in some way, shape, or form. Any human being is aware of creation. So that's general revelation. So that's why in Romans chapter 1, it says that they are without excuse because it's obvious that there's a God. Maybe that if they've never heard the Word of God, it is still obvious that they're answerable to a Creator. Without any more information, that's obvious. So God holds them accountable for that, okay? Even if they've never seen a Bible, all right? Now, the second one is how? Yeah, special. It's called special, and you might think of it as specific, but that's the Word of God. It's special revelation, and that gives you specifics, okay? You can look at any form of creation and say there has to be a designer, there has to be a purpose, there has to be it has to be a reflection of something else, okay? There's lots of arguments for that, but it will not tell you in detail about God, about God's plan, for instance, about God's righteousness. So that's kind of inherently built into what, to some degree? Everybody has a conscience. Yeah, something that measures right and wrong. It may be seared, it may be improperly tuned, but they still have a sense of right and wrong. You know, you can walk up and punch somebody in the face, they're going to say, hey, that's not right. Okay, even if they've never read the Bible, it's like, hey, I don't think you should be doing that, okay? But special revelation tells you in detail about God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Creation tells you specifically that there is a God. It's obvious. There's a Godhead. There's an intelligence and there's a power there. The Bible immediately starts telling you how that went about, how that came to be, okay? The Bible tells you about the history of God working with mankind. He starts in, you know, that where sin came from, where mankind came from, the design of God for gender and marriage and children and all of that, and nations and human government and all that in Genesis even, but how He worked through the nation Israel, how He chose them and worked through. He gave the commandments. How many commandments are there in the Old Testament? Oh. I like Annie's a lot. There's 613, I think, specifically. You know, so 10 commandments is a summary. It's kind of a summary statement. Everything kind of relates in those categories. But and then you get the foretelling of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ of the Messiah who would come and be cut off and take the sins of many, like in Isaiah 53. And then you go to the end, all the way through where Jesus comes, the church has begun, to the book of Revelation, where much of it hasn't even happened yet. And he's telling you how it'll end. There's a judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers, and a great white throne judgment, which is for unbelievers. That's stuff you can't find in nature. Again, kind of inherently, I know there's a right and wrong just by the way we're designed. I know there's a God. There's at least an implicit idea, the implied idea that we're accountable to our Creator. But you get the details, the specifics, special revelation from the Word of God. So there's two kinds of revelation. So light reveals. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. What are we talking about here? Which one? Special. That's what we're talking about. Okay, special revelation. Okay, look at Ephesians 5:13. It's in your notes there, right underneath that first point. But all things that are exposed are manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So light reveals. And manifest we don't use in that way anymore, pretty much. But light shows us things. Okay, light reveals. You go into a dark basement and you can't really see anything, but you turn the light on and then you can see things. Or if you're less, you feel around to find everything that's there, okay? Light shows us what we cannot otherwise see, cannot otherwise know. Two parts here. God's light shows us what is, what do you think? God's light shows us what is right and wrong. What's a word you can give me for those two words? Good and evil. I mean, summarize this whole those two words into one word. Morality. Exactly. What is morality? Okay. That the idea of morality is what is right and wrong. If you're an evolutionist and you reject God and therefore God's light, what do you not have? Any kind of sense of morality other than a relative morality, maybe a community, let's all decide as criminals to treat each other, let's not steal from each other. Because that would be unproductive, okay? It's that sense of morality. There's no sense of right and wrong. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. Now, as believers, according to the Bible, then, you have to be in the Word of God to be able to discern what is what. Okay, you get that? So just because you're a believer doesn't automatically mean that you know what's right and wrong. That's a common error. Oh, I go to church, I'm a believer. But that in no way tunes your conscience to the Word of God. You have to be in the Word of God. In fact, what is it? 1 Kings, is it? I don't know. I can't remember. But God required, when the nation Israel got a king, before they ever got a real king, one of the requirements was that he had to read through the Word of God. And not only read it, what? What did he have to do? He had to write his own copy. And one of the reasons was so that he would know what is right and wrong. He had to write his own copy so he could have his own copy. He couldn't go to the bookstore and get one, understand that. But also by writing it, it ensured that you what? You read it and it would help you remember it. But also then you had your copy, which was intended to be read continuously so that you would know, for one, what is right and wrong. And if it's good enough for kings, it's good enough for you for that same purpose. Okay, you might not be leading a nation, but you need to know what's right and wrong, right? Okay, let's look at some of the passages here. John 3, we looked at this just last 2 weeks ago, John 3. And this is the condemnation, John 3, 19 through 21. This is the condemnation that the light has come into the world and men, what? Love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. And that word exposed, we get the word convicted. Okay, it's kind of a passive sense, but it's the idea that it's exposed with the idea of showing that it's wrong. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So the idea that it's right or wrong. Light reveals whether something is right or wrong in a moral sense. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Righteousness would be what's right. Lawlessness would be what is wrong. It's using different terms. And what communion has light with darkness? The answer to both of those questions, as Paul asks several rhetorical questions, is nothing. Righteousness has nothing to do with lawlessness. There's no relationship. Light and darkness don't mix. Right and wrong don't mix. Okay? The Word of God reveals to us what is right and wrong. Without the reading, the teaching, the understanding of the Word of God, you and I cannot know what is right and wrong. Here's another 1 John passage, 1 John 2:8-11, says this, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See, there's an idea, again, a morality of treating your brother rightly. Just as a quick review, love and hate in the Bible are different than what we think of today. Oh, I love you. And I might add, if we were sitting around the table and the kids, oh, I love you. And hatred is like, oh, I'm going to get you. You know, we think of that. Love in the Bible, you can love your enemies. You ever think about your enemy? Never, never. You're not thinking that way. What is love in the Bible? Love is active care. Doing something for their benefit. God so loved the world that he did something. Okay? He did something. And hatred is the same thing. 1 John chapter 3 talks about that. It talks about if you say that you love your brother, but you don't, but you have, if your brother has a need and you have extra and you don't do anything to fill that need, how can the love of God dwell in you? And the answer is, if you're from the South, it ain't there. You know, it's not part of that. Okay? So it's not actively working through you, the love of God, because you're ignoring it. Hatred can be simply ignoring. Okay? Choosing something over something else. You love something and you hate something else. That's the way the Bible talks. You can't love God and mammon. You love the one and what? Hate the other. It's not so much how you feel, it's what you do with it. Okay? Even as some people get, this is deep now, but Esau have I loved and Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, right? People get all caught up in that, but it's like, you understand, God was choosing Jacob over Esau. It wasn't an emotional thing. It wasn't a, oh, you know, I'm getting rid of you. And it was an act of choosing one over the other. It's a choice factor. And the same thing, hatred and love, sometimes they say, well, I don't hate my brother, I just ignore him. Well, the Bible says, no, you hate him then. Okay, we somehow define that in a different way than what the Bible does. Okay, subpoint number two, God's light shows us what is. I'm going to do this, and kids, this means the same word, okay? God's light shows us what is. True and false. Okay, similar but not the same as morality. I call this information, okay? But it's more, you can get information that's true and false, but we're talking about truth here, okay? Information. Somebody can give you information. It can be false or true information. The Bible tells you what, how to define that, okay? If someone says that there's no God and you came from monkeys, and just because you look like a monkey must mean that you are a monkey or whatever. I called one of my kids a monkey yesterday. Not for that reason, though. But the idea is we look to the Bible and says, well, that tells us something true or something false, okay? It defines the truth. And so the Word of God reveals what is true and not true. And that brings us to the conclusion then also that you cannot know what is true or what is false unless you are in the Word of God. Got it? And there are so many believers that are not in the Word of God. And I'm like, how can you possibly, what does it take to make any decision? Don't you have to have a sense of what is right and wrong and what is true and false to come to a proper conclusion? You must. I mean, maybe do I take a right turn or a left turn in my car to get to the grocery store? That might be just informational, okay? But my concept of what marriage is, my concept of morality, or how, what do I do with my thought life, or how do I choose my future, are tied in both to right and wrong and true and false, okay? I would say that the average believer is not in the Word much. They hear it on Sundays, maybe in the middle of the week, if it's a really radical group, you know, they're meeting a couple times a week or something. But the Bible says, just like in Psalm 1, that we're supposed to meditate in the Word one. Day and night. It's supposed to immerse us, and we're supposed to view all of life through the Word of God, not just, you know, oh, I got this truth, and I'm going to tuck it in my truth pocket, and then next week I'm going to get another truth and tuck it in my truth. No, God intends for us to change the way we see things, the way we understand things, so that we are seeing things via the light, so that it makes sense, so that morality is identified, what is right and wrong, so that truth is identified, what is true and false, by the truth of God. It's intended to be all that we are, not a religious event that happens occasionally, weekly, or whatever the case might be. John 8:12. Mentioned this last week. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he said, the light. So if you're not in a religion that connects you directly to Jesus, the Bible would say that you're in the dark. Okay? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is that saying? If you're not following Jesus and allowing His light to shine, you are already walking where? In darkness, right? What do you have to do to walk in darkness? Nothing. We're already there. We have to instead avail ourselves of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And it's not just some kind of, I'm a Jesus follower pin. It's an activity of knowing the truth and obeying the truth. Later on in this same chapter of John chapter 8, he says, you shall know the, and the truth will, oh, so you have to know it, and then you have to act on it. Oh, okay. All right, so there's more to it than just I've got my Christian pin. Okay, it's a lifestyle. It's a way to look at everything. God's life shows us what's true and false. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who was shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And again, God's knowledge is in the presence of the darkness of the world. You cannot get God's knowledge without availing yourself of God's Word. 1 John 1:5-7, again, we've read this already. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Next week we'll talk about it more, but I believe when it talks about God is light, it's including both morality and information. It's the truth and holiness that are involved here, okay? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we what? Lie. That sounds like a truth issue, doesn't it? Help me out here. Doesn't that sound like you're either not practicing the truth, or you're not proclaiming the truth, or you're not believing the truth? We lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and His truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's verse 10 say? If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His truth is not in us. Okay, so these go together. The whole idea of the light, what is right and wrong, what is true and false, they tied in together. And a lot of times they're very much related, okay? Because what's right and wrong or what's true and false will tell you oftentimes what is right and wrong. You know, and we keep going back to marriage because that's a hot issue today. I never would believe that people would be voting on whether or not, you know, same-sex marriage would be. Well, if you understand what was true and false about what God set up, that's not even a question about what's right and wrong at that point. Okay? Because God made one man for one woman in the book of Genesis. He set this, established it all throughout. He commands against homosexual type lifestyles or immoral activity outside of marriage. Okay? In any way, shape, or form, it isn't just homosexual ideas. That's true and false, but it also relates to what's right and wrong. Okay? So those are tied in together. Okay, so what does the light do? Light reveals. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. And God's light shows us what is true and false. Now the second part here, and this is related. You can't really separate these two. But letter B, light guides. Light guides. It reveals. And it also guides. God's light shows us how to, and I'll use the term walk, how to live maybe, okay? How to walk, and that's a word that we talked about in it last week, to walk around, peripateo, to, I'll write it on the board again so you got it. Peri is perimeter, what is it, periscope, okay, those, yeah, around, and pateo is, you think of pat, somebody walking, okay, well, it's just to walk around. The word in the Greek, you see it in Ephesians a lot, walk the children of light, okay, it's walking around, it's the way you live, okay, so it's the idea, wherever you go, you're walking around, this is the way you're living, okay. God's light shows us how to walk. Without God's light, we walk in. Okay, so I'm just going to put, is that the only word you have here? Okay, oops. I'll just write that word to save time. But without God's light, we walk in, and this is the word, kids, you can put in that one space there, darkness. We said that. If you are not in the Word of God and living by the Word of God, you are already in darkness. You walk in darkness. There's no way to see what is right. And Jesus said, I am, what? The light, right? There's no other light. Everything else is darkness. So if you reject God and God's truth, which relates to God's morality, what are you left with? You're left with falsehood and immorality. That's what you have left. That's all you have left. I'll read John 8:12 again. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me. And we mentioned this with regard to believers who are actively pursuing God by listening to what He says, obeying what He says in the Word of God. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of walking around and seeing how we should actually see what's there. Okay. Without God's light, we walk in darkness. Now, what happens? This is kind of built on number two. Without God's light, we... The Bible brings this up over and over. Stumble. We stumble. Kids, what does stumble mean? Stumble is when it's really dark and you can't see and you trip over something. You stumble, okay? That's what stumble means. And the Bible uses that term several times as well. John 11, 9 and 10. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not, what? Stumble, because he sees the light of this world." He's using an analogy, a physical analogy. If the sun's out, you don't stumble. Okay? And he says, "But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Now he kind of converts it to a spiritual sense. He's stumbling now because the light is not in him. He's not seeing things the way they actually are. He's not seeing what's the difference between right and wrong, or what the difference between truth and falsehood, okay? 1 John 2:11, "He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Okay? That probably is better with the next point, which I will write down here. Without God's light, we are lost. Okay? Without God's light, we are lost. John 12:35, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you.'" Let me stop there for a minute. What does that give indication? Is it possible to be in the light and then be overtaken by darkness? Seems so. Okay, we're not talking about salvation here, because you don't live to get saved. You live to mature, to become sanctified, if you will. But if you're not constantly in the Word of God, you lose that light and you begin to be in darkness again. "While you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." So that's a term like lost. He doesn't know where he's going, okay? You don't know where you're going. If you can't see where you're going, you're lost, okay? Now, Les sees with his eyes, or his fingers, so he knows. And his stick. He can hit with that stick too, I bet. Is that also a weapon, Les?
No.
Sure, no. Well, okay. You have to see where you're going or you're lost. And folks, again, if you reject the light, Jesus Christ, who gives you light, the ability to see what is right and wrong, what is true and false, you are lost. Both people that are unsaved have no clue about even salvation. You know, they don't even understand their own standing, that they are apart from God because of their sin. And I believe saved people, if they're not availing themselves of the light, they are walking in darkness. They're confused, okay? Because it's not automatic pilot. You don't get saved just like a child. A child doesn't get born and then automatically grow up just fine. They have to be constantly in the light of the parents' instruction in order for them to grow up correctly, properly, rightly. Same way, believers are encouraged to be in the light because, and we'll talk about that next week. John is talking to believers there. "These things I write to you that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Okay? And John writes it and says, "These things I write to you that your joy may be full." Okay? It's part of the Christian process, and even the whole confession of sin on a daily basis or a constant basis is a believer thing, not an unbeliever thing. Walking in the light is a believer thing on an ongoing basis. What John 8:12 says, that you are following me and then you will have the light of life and you won't be walking in darkness. It's an ongoing relationship of God's truth for us. So.